Movie Mavericks.
The Movie Mavericks Podcast.
Movie Mavericks, speaking of fucking long, uncut European cocks.
The Movie Mavericks Podcast.
Now for your hosts, Jason and Trevor.
I can't wait.
Hey now, everybody. Welcome to episode 255 of the Movie Mavericks Podcast. I'm Trevor Anderson. I'm sending you over to Jason Rugard. He's got a rundown for us.
On today's episode, we do have our box office ace prediction game for the long-awaited sequel, Dumb and Dumber 2, Beyond the Lights, and news for Terminator 5 production stills. We're going to discuss that. If you have seen the Entertainment Weekly this week, got some pictures of Arnie, our thoughts on that. Seth Rogen being cast to play opposite Michael Fassbender in the Steve Jobs biopic. Ooh. Yeah, Michael Bay is trying out his hand again at doing a true story with the Benghazi tale. And Matt Damon is coming back as Jason Bourne in 2016. Plus some casting bits, our thoughts on the Mechanic sequel, Suicide Squad, and Star Wars' new title. Reviews for 22 Jump Street, Neighbors, The Judge, John Wick, Sex Tape, Hercules, Godzilla, The Signal, and Haunted House 2, and our thoughts on the trailers for Chappie, McFarlane USA, Furious 7, and A Most Violent Year. Before we do all this, let's get into the box office ace prediction game.
Not a question of enough, pal. It's a zero-sum game. Somebody wins, somebody loses.
Let's play the HSX.com box office prediction game.
All right, let's play this damn game.
So my prediction for Interstellar was a bit high at 73 last weekend, coming in estimates at, 52, somewhere around that range.
Mm-hmm.
You went where with that? Where were you at?
I don't remember.
Were you in the stratosphere,
per se? I was...
orbiting?
Let me check.
Were you in the gravitational
60s.
Pull?
I think I was in the 60s. I was lower than you.
Yeah.
I was 60.
Okay, so yeah, you're much closer than I.
But still,
really didn't achieve the kind of strength that I thought it would. Do you think that the length hurt it, or mixed word of mouth? I've heard some mixed reviews.
Is it just at this point it's more the same? Even though he's kind of, you would say Christopher Nolan's kind of the godfather of films we have nowadays, and it really is. Everyone's kind of already done it at this point, right?
Yeah, this
not so much.
Curious
not
that
so
it opened up
important.
50 million is nothing to blink at, but still.
But Divergent, right? I mean,
yeah, Divergent opened up with 51 million. That's true.
Mm-hmm.
Made me think about that.
So
and
an odd comparison there, right?
The big one, Big Hero 6, opening up 56 million. Unusually strong, not the 66 bullish prediction that the studio had predicted and that you and I had both predicted. But 56 is still a very strong opening for a new non-sequel.
Yeah, I thought 65. Yeah, I just thought with all the kids stuff and with such a great track record that Disney's having, the non-Pixar Disney, you'd think this would have done a little better, I guess. But I don't know.
I think the
to make room for everything. Yeah, but looking into the future, I mean, these are probably going to be. How can we keep up with the amount of movies that are about to be released in the next couple of years? How are they going to keep up opening this big?
I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do. This is definitely going to be sequelized.
Because they're going to be very similar, right? Yeah, this is going to be sequelized. We have a lot of the similar stuff that's going to be hitting. And we've done nothing but build up to, as you say, sequelize this, well, sequelize that. Right. So we really have all more of the same. It's going to be interesting.
This did open up higher than How to Train Your Dragon 2, which was, from what I've heard, universally acclaimed as the best family film of the year. So interesting how that underperformed here in the States, and this opened up strong for what it was. Looking ahead, though, to the next weekend, we have the long-awaited sequel, Dumb and Dumber 2, coming 20 years after the original opened in 94. You know, it was part of a killer year for Carrey back then. I think he had Ace Ventura, the original, The Mask, and then Dumb and Dumber in December. Just a huge, huge year for him. All massive hits, and this being the most popular of the three. I rewatched it recently. Have you seen it recently, the original?
I haven't. I've been waiting to. It's finally on Netflix. I'm definitely going to do it.
Definitely give it a rewatch, but it's a lot lumpier than I remember. And if,
I've seen it fairly probably recently than you have, so I do remember it being
a little unwieldy.
A bit odd, to say
the
least.
Yeah, I felt too. So I didn't pick up on that when I was younger and really loved the first one. So I wonder if this one, even if it's almost the exact, it could be the exact same thing, if it felt like that.
But it does feel a little bit like Ace Ventura, but there's less jokes, maybe, I guess. Like a less, not that it's not full of jokes, but you know what I mean? It's a little less, it's still, I don't even know how to compare it.
It's less
but
manic,
it is very similar to Ace Ventura. It seems slower, but it isn't. That's why it's kind of so weird to me anyways. It feels, I don't know, comedy sometimes do that, right? They go off in weird ways you didn't think they would.
The sequel, I thought, was going to be a massive opener, but I've been asking people, you know, what their thoughts are on it, and I keep hearing people talk about Horrible Bosses 2 and not this. Mm-hmm. You know, it's almost like people are anticipating Horrible Bosses 2.
That's probably more fresh in their minds.
Yeah, so does the 20-year absence really hurt? And is Carrie still that big of a box office draw? This isn't 2003 when Bruce Almighty
came out. But he was just on Saturday Night Live and the best ratings they've had, right?
Killed it. Absolutely killed it on Saturday Night Live. I don't know. I thought he was
great. If you get the right audience, you know, I think obviously, clearly, I think we both think this does over 35 easy, which is going to be a huge hit.
So where do you stand on this? Where is the bar?
I'm going to say, you know what? That is a good question. I'm going to say 38. I'll look up the bar and you can go ahead.
Yeah, I'm going to say 46. I really thought that this had a chance to open up even in the 60s, but I don't want to get too bullish because nothing has done that.
Dumb and Dumber, the bar is set at 35. Uh-huh.
Yeah, all right. So I'm going to say 46. Trevor's going 38. We both think this does well, but I think that if this – it has an outside chance for the 50s. I really believe that. But then it has an outside chance
that's
for
a,
the
low
20s.
A bit of an outside chance. I don't think it has an outside chance to go under 30. I'd be surprised. I'd be real surprised if this goes under 30. I think this is a name people know. And these are all names people know. They're going to go. Even the young people who, as you say, are more interested maybe in Horrible Bosses 2 still know who these people are and still know this property. So
I'm curious. Curious to see what this turns out to be.
But are you
Second
dumber?
Film. No, I'm Beyond the Lights, which is the title of our next film. A movie that I had to
what
look
is
up
this?
Because I had this is a movie directed by Gina Price Blythewood, and it's doesn't
that's
look
not
very
a description.
good
job.
I saw the one sheet. I saw the description.
I know. I don't know who any of these people are. I only know this is from the director of Love and Basketball because it says it.
Yeah, it's opening up to 1600 screens,
which isn't surprising.
Just give you a number. Just throw a number out there. What do you got?
I don't know.
Well, you're on the pot.
I'm going to go 7 million.
I went 6. So we both think this does pretty well. I don't know what the fuck it is.
Because,
kind of
but haven't you?
Attitude.
Yeah, but because only because of in the past, recent past, right? Hasn't this been happening constantly?
Well, I
was coming out and then making $7, $8, $12 million. Just like, how is this possible?
Something called Addicted. I mean, made like $150 million, and we didn't even know what it was.
Yeah, so I'm saying I'm gonna pull this into that group and say this looks like something that I don't know what it is, but people are gonna go see.
I can't mock you because I did the same thing at 6.6 myself. So I'm leaving it at that. There's our esteem predictions from these professionals tonight. Dumb and Dumber 2, though, I'm very curious to see how that plays out next weekend. Obviously, the first day, I think, is going to be very front-loaded and peters out. But I want to hear what the word of mouth is, because I do think this could be a sleeper. Mm-hmm. I think people are a little
well, it looks really funny.
Unenthused. I think so, too.
But is that kind of comedy going to hold? Because it definitely isn't, older kind of comedy. All right.
Let's get to the news tonight. So if you have seen the production stills for Terminator 5 or Terminator Genesis, which they've misspelled on purpose, Genesis, sounds like Arnold's Austrian accent saying it.
Well, it's like sys, like system. I get it.
Is it like the Sega Genesis?
The Sega CD? Remember Game Genie?
Sewer Rat. I had
the Game Genie.
Game Genie reference? What are we talk? I mean, we're talking 90s now. Tamagotchi's there?
That's how you defeat the Terminator. You punch in the Game Genie into him, and then you type in the fucking code that's like 80 million characters long, and then you beat him.
I think the Game Genie for me peaked it up, down, down, left, right, A, B, A, B, okay? That's ingrained
that's not
in
even
anyway.
The Game Genie.
That was my Game Genie forever. That's the only code I ever remembered.
It's just the contract code. All right.
All right. So anyways, if you've seen these stills or the cover of Entertainment Weekly, you've seen Arnold in his Terminator-esque outfit and the new cast doing their thing. I asked you to take a look at these stills. What did you think?
I look at these and I think, why the fuck is the show not on?
It looks like the television show, doesn't it?
Why did the show get canceled for this? Yeah, I'm like, oh, come on. That show was awesome.
That show
Bring
was
back
good.
The show.
The Sarah
Bring
John, back the show. Sarah,
I'm a huge Connor Arnold Schwarzenegger fan. I don't care. Bring back the show. I don't need Arnold.
Arnold does not look right in that picture. I don't know what
this is going to be confusing. He looks really old. So I don't know how they're going to
Well, no
pull
shit,
that
he's
off.
Old.
Well, yeah, but is he the Terminator in this? I'm confused.
And I'm done with this guy Jai Courtney in all these revamps. Get out of my Die Hard and my Terminator.
Oh, he's in everything.
The next Rambo too? I mean, Jesus Christ, the guy is in all of my reboots.
He was in
Get out of here already.
He is in everything.
He was in, Jack Reacher. He's all over the place. It's not the guy's a
God,
bad
he
actor or
Jack
anything.
Reacher.
He was in I, Frankenstein. He's seen him everywhere recently. I haven't had a guy push on me like this since Miles Teller came along, and I'm not doing it. All right? I'm standing up for it.
Yes, now, you are. Jai Courtney, he's going to be the next big thing.
Well, I'd like to Jai Courtney, the girl playing Sarah Connor, because that's the chick from Game of Thrones who looks beautiful there, but looks just out of sorts in these pictures. These pictures look
She
very
looks
cheap,
weird. It doesn't
stupid.
Look like her. Yeah, that's because these aren't. These are
studio production
stills, and they're not. So. It's just people. Whoever the photographer, whoever had this idea of just taking them into a parking lot, what looks like, I guess, an airplane type hangar in the background, and just shooting them in this empty space. It looks like a screen test, doesn't it?
It doesn't work.
And then Schwarzenegger is in front of some sort of a painting. This background is not real. It's like a painting. It doesn't look good. Guys, we gotta step this up.
These still are stills.
We're gonna wind up with the Terminator 4 again. I'm a little.
These are still stills, and they're not anything definite. So we're being very judgmental already, but we're very protective of these.
That's the point. Is that they put this stuff out, and then we get to judge it, right?
Thank God.
Sight unseen of the movie. Who knows?
Isn't that what the internet's for?
Yeah.
What the fuck is the internet? All right.
What the fuck is the internet?
So our boy Wozniak is getting portrayed once again by a pudgy little bastard. This time Seth Rogen instead of Josh Gad. And I like the casting of Rogen as the Woz, the counterpart to Steve Jobs. Now, Christian Bale was purportedly in talks. This is a role that has had people come and go. I mean, this is, you know, like the horror of roles here. We had DiCaprio leave. We have Bale leave. Now, Foster.
They should just hire Ashton Kutcher again. He did it once. He's ready to go.
I didn't think he was that bad in that movie, honestly.
I thought he was fine. That movie sucks, but he was fine.
That's the problem with that movie. I know he got a lot of flack for that movie, but I'm glad we both are in agreement on that. I thought he was decent for what they were trying to. And I even thought Josh Gad was decent, but the movie itself was flawed.
Sure.
But. Yeah, if it gets down there far enough, I'm sure they're going to, I mean, the sad thing is they'd give it to Channing Tatum before they gave it to Ashton Kutcher.
Okay, well, that'd be funny.
And that's real. That is real.
Yeah, I don't know. Fingers crossed for this, but I have no hope that this is going to be worth a damn. Everyone's so intent on telling the same stories over and over again that they pass a lot of the interesting Steve Jobs stories up that haven't been told yet.
I am curious, though, why this project is so cursed. It's like, why can't you keep, you know, it's like a girl who can't keep a boyfriend. What the fuck's wrong with you? You know what I mean? Why is this role so in and out? What's wrong with the script?
I don't know. I wish, though, these are the times I wish we had actors. Well, I guess we have Johnny Depp, but people like Gene Wilder that could just, step in and play this role. Wouldn't that be great?
Gene Wilder
is
Steve Jobs.
Wouldn't that be a movie you'd want to see? Just because it'd be, you know, it'd be horrible. But he'd be totally serious. Like, he'd totally give it his whole, because that dude gave 100% in every movie, no matter how ridiculous.
I like
that.
That would be
the amazing part.
I like that on episode 255, you are all of a sudden stumping for Gene Wilder, for one. And for two, I think that fucking idea of Gene Wilder playing Steve Jobs in a movie with Seth Rogen is like a fake poster in a Ben Stiller movie, like in the background, you know? Or it's like if Les Grossman, you know, was back in a movie, he'd have that as a poster in his office. My God, my mind is sufficiently
blown. We do have Johnny
right
Depp.
Now. Well, yeah, because we don't have Gene Wilder anymore. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, well, Johnny Depp's kind of like a Gene Wilder. He could put him in the place of Steve Jobs. Well, they actually, he could play. He could play both parts.
I don't want to see him do much of anything right now.
So what's next?
What is next? All right, next.
What is this Michael Bay thing? I like Michael Bay. No one else seems to like Michael Bay.
I like Michael Bay. There's last another guy I like. Haven't been too hot on, but I used to like Michael Bay quite a bit.
I liked one of those.
I know you like Pain and Gain. I'm going to give it another shot. But in the Pain and Gain mode of doing a true life story, Michael Bay is signed on to direct a script chronicling the Benghazi tale titled 13 Hours. This is his bid at somewhat serious filmmaking. I hate to say serious filmmaking because, you know, anytime they take on a movie, it's serious, especially the size of his productions. But this is obviously in the vein, I think, of Black Hawk Down and things like that, where Ridley Scott uses commercial instincts. It's not a Transformers movie.
Right, yeah.
It kind of makes me feel that he came back for Transformers 4 to get this movie. Kind of a one for you, one for me, you know, a give and take. He did Transformers 3, did that Pain and Gain, said he was never going to come back into the Transformers. He did. That made a billion. Now he gets to do the small tale. And if Bay can do this, even if it's unsuccessful on the whole with critics, you know, Pain and Gain didn't take off with me and some other critics, but it has its, you know, enthusiasts. You're one
it's
of
a
them
good
and
movie.
Some other critics. Yeah, no.
I like
so,
it.
It's not,
quite
it's not a total
bit.
Waste. I'm not saying it's like an abysmal movie or anything like that. It's a near miss for me. But the point is that if he can do ones that are even near misses like that, he can actually start reversing his reputation a little bit.
Well, at least Pain and Gain was Pain and Gain was out of the norm, even for him.
Yeah.
You know, it's a different kind of a script. It's not
it was Coen-esque
that you'd normally see. And so yeah, exactly. So for that reason, you know, I applaud him for doing something different than Transformers, because obviously at this point, you know, they want his name on there. Let him be a producer. You get his name. You don't need him directing those Transformers movies. It's a waste of time. I don't think he wants to be there anymore. You know, it doesn't take – you probably don't even need a director for a fucking Transformers movie at this point.
Yeah, I got a feeling those almost direct themselves, because there's so much second unit and CG work being done and things like that. Outside of the actors, you know, they're working with the actors on some scenes. But
well, clearly no one's coaching them, so –
I hope no one's coaching Marky Mark to deliver that. You know, it's a truck and a transformer. Speaking of Boston boys, Matt Damon, little Matty Damon's back. You know, you got his buddy Big Ben doing a Batman, so he said, "Hey, we got to come back and do some blockbusters." I love when these guys swear off this
gotta
shit.
Make some
I'm
money.
Never coming back. Hey, where does this leave?
And then they can't
get
do anything
it,
else.
Matty Damon's coming back to do. Jason Bourne movie, the untitled one now. Paul Greengrass apparently is coming back, although he's lined up another story to make in the meantime. But this is going to be released in 2016, so in 4 years from now, you'll get to have.
But we saw this coming. They've been talking about this for a while, and Matt Damon's even said that he's open, and so is Jeremy Renner, I think, as well. Possibly said that they were open to doing a crossover, even. So
I don't know. I reserve
interesting.
My judgment
on this. I just don't, you know, they made a bunch of Saw movies. They made 4 Scream movies. I guess you can do it with Jason Bourne. They're making a crap load of Mission Impossible movies.
But at least those are consistent in a sense. I mean, the
Mission Impossible
fractured
movies are not consistent at all.
I mean, in the sense that it's been one character here. It's so fractured in the timelines now. Or
yeah,
so
but at least it's not. You're right. It is different characters, but at least it's not the same character played by different people.
Okay, I'll give you that. That was the one saving grace that Universal.
So they can kind
they
of forget.
Back pocket.
Yeah, at least they can forget kind of like at least one of the branches here. Like if the Jeremy Renner stuff doesn't work out, they can just fuck that off. Or if the Matt Damon stuff doesn't work out, because honestly, I don't know. I was done with Jason Bourne after the second one. Really,
me as well.
It was a horrible movie.
I think the first 10 minutes of that movie is awesome. And then that movie,
and then they kill her, and they kill his girl, and I'm just like, well, what's the point of all that? I watched that whole fucking movie so they could get together, and you kill her in the first 10 minutes of this, and then he just runs around and does nothing. Ugh.
Yeah. Well, that's why the ultimatum to me is the ultimate boredom, because it's the Bourne boredom to me. It's just he literally is just scampering around, running away from people the whole time. I don't know. You and I are like the only two people that don't like.
Might
the
not
Bourne
be their
movies.
Fault. Maybe
I love
the
first
books,
one.
You know?
The first one was the great.
Yeah,
no, it's not
I
the
agree.
Books. I've read the books. The book they have nothing to
so
do with the movies.
So nothing like that. Okay.
No.
Yeah. So then it is their fault.
It's their fault. It's absolutely their fault. It's the writing. But we're in the minority on that. We're going to get tons of hate mail now. Thanks. Because these things are mainstays on TBS and TNT and anything else that has a...
And that's fine, but that's not what they're perfect for, really. You know, I could imagine them playing well on there, and that's probably where I would want to watch them. You know, which is the point that they're just not, you know, they're not silver screen material.
All right.
They're TV material.
Well, Jason Bourne's getting a sequel, so The Mechanic should get a sequel, which is a movie I really like. I don't think you liked it as much as I did, but The Mechanic Resurrection.
Sequel? Is Statham back?
Statham is back, and guess who's joining Statham? Tommy Lee Jones, Jessica Alba, and Michelle Yeoh. So the cast is being formed here, and I really liked Mechanic. I mean, I know it's a sequel or a reboot from a Charles Bronson, Jean Michael Vincent film.
I didn't dislike Mechanic. I'm just tired of stupid action movies that are stupid, not stupid fun, but just stupid. And that was The Mechanic to me. Like, it was just dumb. I was like, oh, come on.
Yeah, you didn't like it. I thought for it worked. It was one of the ones that Statham. Mm-hmm. I had seen the Crank movies, and I thought those were so bad in War. And
those
some of the other
bad.
Ones
and that's
done.
War. Good God, yeah.
And this had come along right kind of in that vicinity. And so it was when to me Statham kind of
it was the beginning
of
the uprise. Yeah, I'll agree with that.
So between this and the Transporter movie, I really started kind of growing on me a little bit. Mm-hmm. And
the last one that he did.
And the Homefront, I think, is fantastic.
Homefront, I thought, was really great, yeah.
Yeah. A little bit of casting news as well. Suicide Squad, which is the much-talked-about project over at WB. That's the studio, not the television network. And is that even a network anymore, WB? WWW.
It's the CW now.
Oh, okay. It used to be the WB when Smallville was on. You know what I mean?
And well, Buffy. It was the CW when Smallville was on, too. Yeah. Smallville was on.
Well, it's true. Smallville was, I think Smallville's still on somewhere. But Suicide Squad.
It didn't stop it.
It's just producing him quietly.
It's called The Flash now.
It really is. It is. It was called Arrow for a minute. Now it's called The Flash.
But, well, it's definitely called The Flash. Yeah. Okay.
The Suicide Squad movie, which is getting much talked about. David Ayer's writing and directing, blah, blah, blah. Jared Leto now is being talked about taking on the role of the Joker. I didn't know the Joker was part of Suicide Squad. Do we need Jared Leto's interpretation of the Joker? And is this a good choice for the Joker?
It gets to the point where you're just like, don't care anymore, right?
It just dumbs down the character. It waters down a character when he's been done so many times and so many different incarnations with so many actors.
I feel like I get it. You know, it's a completely different 180 from the Heath Ledger thing. Jared Leto coming off the award, the Academy Award. You know, I get it. But at the same time, I don't know. I still feel, oddly enough, because, you know, it's been, what, five, longer than that? Six? How long has it been since we had The Dark Knight?
You're looking at like 6 years.
Four, 5 years? 6 years? By the time this comes out, it'll be 7 years, right?
Be almost 10. That'd be a 10 years.
It'll be 10 years. I still think too soon. I don't know. Like too soon for the Joker? No, we kind of had that already. Like, can we do something else? Can we do a different bad guy?
It's
been 7 years, so maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it hasn't. I just feel that way.
There was almost a 20-year gap between Nicholson and Ledger. That almost felt too soon. There's something about that character and like the immortality, I don't say immortality, but like the iconicness which those actors have portrayed it to where you don't want to, I think it gets watered down when you have another actor going to take it on and give it his interpretation, no matter how good it may be. It's just, it's so iconic. You're like, why spoil that? You know, you think of Brandon Lee as the Crow. Do you ever think of the other actors that played the Crow? No, even though they watered down that character.
They've been on the screen far more than him.
Yeah, exactly. But you think of Brandon Lee as that character. I think of the same thing with Nicholson or with
you're right. And it was
Ledger.
So hard to believe that Heath Ledger would be
good.
You know,
and he was fantastic.
Worth a shit. And then you were like, oh my God, he blew your mind. There's no way in hell you'd think Jared Leto would be able to do that.
And he might be fantastic. But once again, I don't need to see another iconic even incarnation of this character.
It's a gamble, though. Right? It's a gamble. Because what if he's not? What if it's just... Okay, then it won't be. Then you kind of kill the character almost in a way, right?
I can't believe the Joker's part of the Suicide Squad. Suicide Squad sounds like a bunch of. It sounds like the sequel to Gangster Squad.
It does.
About gangsters, man. I was really looking forward to this Ryan Gosling sequel.
This is when Ryan Gosling kills himself.
Well, this week, Star Wars fans rejoiced all over the country, as they usually do.
And all over each other's faces.
Wow. You're about as bitter as Ewan McGregor. You hear that Ewan McGregor comment about he's never met a Star Wars fan? Oh, he's pissed. He says he's never met a Star Wars fan. He just met fanboys that crushed children to get his autograph to sell at conventions.
It's so like, wow. True. I believe that.
So yeah, you sound like you're in the McGregor camp there.
That won't be me. Well, I guess I am, because for me, I'd see Ewan McGregor and be like, I don't really need your fucking autograph. That'd be the last thing to enter my mind. I need his autograph. Nah.
If I saw Ewan McGregor, I'd just be like, you know, I really liked you in Eye of the Beholder. I would just try to find the most obscure movie he ever made and just try to just drop it on him, you know?
Hey, you like
Life
the
Less
Tim
Ordinary
Burton
changed my life. Hey, Big Fish is fantastic. That shit makes me cry every time. I don't want to talk about it.
See?
Just talking about it gets me choked up, all right? Seriously. All right, but Star Wars fans did rejoice because the title for episode 7-ish is going to be The Force Awakens. Yeah.
What an original, amazing title.
Yeah, right? Well, I remember when this happened with The Phantom Menace, and people were like, what the fuck? What does that mean? And the only time I remember that was when Quantum of Solace was dropped. People were like, well, I don't understand what the hell that is, and this is so dull. The Force Awakens? Hey, like you said, way to give it like just a Disney XD title.
It does not help.
No, so just want to drop that out there to be negative on the Star Wars shit. But, you know, Anthony Daniels, who played C-3PO and reprised his role in this one, says that this could be the best one since Empire Strikes Back. Of course, he's saying that sight on scene, and he probably doesn't even have the whole script because he's not privy to it. But, hey, what's a little buzz?
I'm going to really just say that I don't even think that's possible, you know.
I'm
just don't feel like it's possible, right? I mean, it is.
It's going to be nuts.
It is possible. It just feels like it's not. Oh, God. These next few years are going to be hard.
I hope this awakens the force within me.
So many movies. So many.
Wouldn't it have been a ballsier choice, no pun intended, if they said the force arouses? arouses.
It's like
on that, let's take a break and come out. Yeah, Disney X XXX version. Come back with our reviews of about 9 movies. So stay with us. We'll be right back.
Member of the Lamb Podcasting Network. Find the network at largeassmovieblogs.com.
Go to moviemavericks.com for all your movie needs. It's pretty, like me.
MovieMavericks.com.
Can someone tell me what the hell a movie maverick is?
Someone tell The Rock.
I love that. You know, today The Rock, briefly, I wanted to ask your opinion on this. He twittered, Instagram, whatever people are doing on social media nowadays. He put it out there that he is reading a comedy script at the moment that he was going to sign on to do in the next few days, and a major comedic actor that could be his twin with the right lighting, he said, was going to be cast in the role. Immediately set my mind in motion.
Wait,
who do you think that actor could
what?
Be? Yes.
But what does that mean? Like, is that...
Think like I'm thinking like an Other Guys type movie, and he said there's going to be an actor in it who kind of resembles him with the right lighting. Now, who could that be?
But is he talking like a Schwarzenegger DeVito type thing?
I don't know exactly.
It sounds like it, like a little coy little...
Yeah, wasn't it like that? Any actors popped to mind? Because I really picked my brain and I found
they're
one
like
that
him?
I think that he they would kind of look like him without the muscles, but with the right lighting could kind
muscles.
Of look like they would be related.
I mean, the only other person I can really think of is what's his name? The guy from Game of Thrones. You won't know him from that. What is his name? The bad guy from that Stallone movie.
Oh, you're talking about Jason Momoa?
Say who? Yeah,
but that's not a comedic actor.
But only
I'm
because
about a comedian, like a
yeah. Well,
comic actor.
I can't think of a single comedian.
I got mean, one.
You don't know how funny Jason Momoa is. He's very funny.
Jason Momoa's a crack up. I mean, obviously,
I follow him on Twitter as well. He is hilarious. Yeah, well, I've seen his work before.
Conan was really subtle.
It was hysterical. All right, what?
I think Adam Sandler. I swear, I think it's Adam Sandler.
I guess, but...
Just wait. I swear. You just wait. That's going to be announced.
It's possible. Right here on episode 255. They really don't look that much alike. I mean, they kind of do. I could see.
You think that DeVito and Schwarzenegger were spitting images?
No, but that's the point, right, of that. And that was the point that I was saying, so I don't know. You could be right. I'm not going to say you're wrong, because they do have similar facial features, kind of, oddly enough.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
They have kind of the same, like, lines in their faces and stuff.
Now you're starting to understand what I'm saying.
I do, but they don't look that much alike. There's no way they possibly could be twins.
We'll see. Anything can happen in Hollywood.
We will see.
We've seen 9 movies since we last talked. Let's go over these together.
I think it's Gene Wilder.
You do miss Gene Wilder, don't you? Far from Bissina. All right. I think a horse is calling somewhere. But let's start off with Haunted House 2, which I talked about a while back.
Okay.
And for me, it goes on my – maybe if – you know, it's not as bad as Blended, but – maybe the second worst movie I saw this year.
I kind of think it's worse than Blended, really, because it's less of a movie.
So you think it's the worst movie you saw this year?
I'll wait to tally that up later. I have to remember what else came out this year, but it's definitely going to be on the list.
I'll wait to tally that, sir. It is fucking
It's
bad.
Real bad. It's completely used. I did not like the first one, and this one's
I
even
loved
less
the first
than
one.
That. Yeah, you loved it. It's really not
I
good.
Loved the first
this one.
It was better
horrible.
Than Scary Movie 5.
And this one put – I don't know if I saw Scary Movie 5. Yeah, those are bad too. But then again, you wind up with the fucking jokes in this, like you know, when are they going to put the Wayans back in Scary Movies, because they're not
they
funny.
All suck without them.
And
yeah.
You think, well, not after these two fucking movies, you got the balls to say that?
Well, I thought that was a little arrogant too, because this one, obviously, they hit the wall after the first. They literally hit the wall, and you're like, wow, there's nothing new here. They're recycling joke.
There's nobody in this movie.
It's mostly Marlon Wayans. For a long stretch of this film.
That's it. He's the only one in the movie. Him and the fluffy guy.
I will say that the first scene in this movie had me laughing out loud, because I think the character of his cousin, who keeps saying, hey, Hammy, the real gangster character, you know, was hilarious. I think he steals the show. I thought that was great. I thought Cedric the Entertainer's bit was nice. In a small bit. And then I thought the last scene with, once again, the gangster cousin trying to go through the house and act hard and crip walk through the house. I thought those two scenes were actually laugh out loud funny, and the rest of it was just abysmal. Just an abysmal
movie. Well, they made it was, yeah, it was, everything was just wrong with this. They clearly thought they had something that people liked out of the first one, because they constantly reflected back to it.
They referred it, yeah.
Referenced it. Yeah, good Lord. But constantly throughout this, right, they had running gags from the first movie in this one, and they were done. Some of that stuff I did think was funny in the first movie. And in this movie, as they ran it on, it was like, how do you fuck it up? You do it once and it's funny, but you do it 2 or 3 times in this and it's not funny ever. This movie was abysmal. I'm surprised that it was even released.
Well, goes on both of our worst of the year lists. Stay away from Haunted House 2. I think the first one is a pleasure. Trevor did not agree with me.
A pleasure?
I got pleasure this weekend out of 22 Jump Street.
Yeah,
I really
like
this.
This was as good, if not, what you said, better than the first?
I actually think this is better than the first one. And I'm going to wait to really get into this until you see it here in a couple weeks. But recently, Todd Thatcher, who plays along on the Box Office Ace Prediction game.
We know Todd.
We know Todd. If you haven't gone to toddthatcher.com and read his article on the comedy sequels and why they suck. And I said to him, I thought that 22 Jump Street bucked the trend. And he agreed with me on that recently, because most comedy sequels suck. But this one was really, really good. And maybe it was because it's very self-knowing and deprecating. And I laughed out loud several times. I have to admit, I saw this on a home video format, so it played maybe a little bit better to me at home. I think in a theater, this might have, because it is 1 hour and 50 minutes, it might have been a little long.
I thought the first one played well
in
the theater, though, surprisingly.
I didn't like it initially, and then it grew on me on home viewings, really? Potentially. But I really like this pairing, and I would love to see a third one, although after the second one, you wonder how much more they can squeeze out of this, because it is literally the same thing. I mean, they joke that it's literally the same thing, but it is literally the same thing. But well done.
So what more could you do, right? Unless they do something completely different. They could do something completely different.
Neighbors. You saw Neighbors, speaking of comedies. What did you think of Neighbors?
I
really
liked
Neighbors.
I did see Neighbors. I did not like it.
What?
Yeah. It really wasn't very funny. There's not a lot of jokes in it, to be honest.
What?
It's completely unrealistic. I don't know any people who are doing any of these things that these people are doing in this movie. And they play it off like both the old folks and the young folks are living life as is and just and unnecessarily mean, I thought.
But they didn't, at least they did it even. You weren't rooting for one.
But why did they do it even? That's actually bothered me. I don't need the backstory of the people who moved in next door. They tried to, I don't know. Why was that in there? Why do I care? That's my whole point. The movie wasn't funny half the time because they were trying to tell me a fucking story that wasn't even really there.
Man, I
why
really
do I care that these dudes are bros when they say, yeah, come on, it's not very good.
The reference there of the, it's a bromance movie. Come on, it's a bromantic comedy.
It's got not.
The Batman
it's not
scene.
At all.
Oh man, with the whole like the generational gap and all that shit, and when he gives the
they
kid
don't
the joint,
even
he's pissed because he's so hard.
It takes
to eat for
first of all, it takes forever for these kids to move in. So you're sitting there learning about this older couple and their life, and for what reason I don't know, because they don't really do anything in the movie except the kids are mean to them and they just take it.
Or we're miles apart on this one. I thought the opening scene was great. I really like this one. This and 22 Jump Street. So now I'm a little worried about you seeing 22 Jump Street. We'll see. All right. So what's The Signal? You got a chance to see that. What is what's up with The Signal?
That's the movie where you hear the signal and then they take you. Right? Did you see the trailers for it ever?
I think I did see the trailer for this. No,
it was fairly big. Yeah, a little while ago. It was a sci-fi thriller. Really the only person, Lawrence Fishburne was the big name, even though he's not the star of it. But
how to play? What are your thoughts?
I know. It sucks.
Wow,
it's one of those movies that, well, it thinks it's so out there. It's so trippy. It's taking you on this crazy voyage, and it just ends, it doesn't live up to it in the end, and it just turns out to be very mundane, boring in the end. It's just this, you figured it out, from the very beginning, really. I don't know. And again, another one that takes forever to get to the point. Why are these movies so slow? Why do we have such slow burns in the beginnings for these films? It doesn't matter. There's no payoff. I don't get to know these people. I don't care about them later on even more that we've taken this time to sit around and do nothing. I guess we're just, I don't know. I don't get it.
They're expanding it into a feature length film. That's what they're doing by doing
that. I've
that's a
felt
small
this way with
usually.
A lot of movies lately, a lot of newer movies do this. And we'll talk about a couple other ones on here, this list as well, that have done this. And this one does it, a whole car ride, a whole nonsense about these three characters. They're moving, this one guy's girlfriend's moving out to the coast. These guys are hacking. They're being led someplace. And that's the other thing. It's highly unbelievable that you're going to lure someone to a remote location by hacking them and annoying them continuously and then getting them to trace your IP address back to some remote location. And then they're going to go there. And do what?
Yeah, that already sounds like a
I'm telling you, because they go there and then they walk through like an abandoned building and they just fuck
what?
Around. And you're like, what are you guys doing? And then they do things that just
y'all
no one would
do.
They go
shit.
Into situations where you're like, yeah, you're going to like something's not good is going to happen here. Who in the right mind would go the dead of night, dark everywhere in the middle of the desert to this broken down building that's like a home that's just boarded up. I mean, just horrible. Go inside of it. Fuck around in there. Everything's just dirty. It just looks gross. Realize there's a basement and go down into the basement. I'm like, what the fuck are you doing?
Only in a horror movie, my friend. That sounds like it sucked.
Bad movie. I think it got into its own head, thought it was better than it was. Turned out not to be so much.
I caught up with John Wick, the Keanu Reeves film. This is a kick-ass little action film that is getting rave reviews. I gotta say, I really liked it as well. I think it is extremely well shot. Beautiful. It's, it almost looks like if Michael Mann had made a Jason Statham film. That's kind of the visual look it's going for. Yeah, it's got a gorgeous sheen to it, mostly shot at night in glossy environments with the rain typically outside. Keanu and shot very in a lot of one shots and takes, so they can show off the stunt performances going on here. This was directed by Chaz Delinsky and David Lettich, who are part of the 8711 stunt team. So this is really almost a stunt reel. That's the problem with this movie. I give it 3 stars because it's not a total home run, because the story is so nearly non-existent. The screening I saw it when it ended, people kind of went, huh, and threw up their hands, because it just it's because there's not really any, you're waiting for like an obstacle, or you talk about a slow burn. No such thing here, my friend. John Wick might be the cure for your obsession here with this slow burn shit, because this movie starts furiously and there are some fantastic action sequences in here. And you and I will recognize guys like Daniel Bernhardt, who we interviewed, and Matt McComing, different guys like that are part of the squad and have been in this this cipher for a while. Yeah, all these guys, you know, that's what I'm saying. When you watch this, you'll recognize a lot of guys that we've interviewed, or that, you know, we've known from different ciphers. So that was kind of fun, too. And it looks great. Keanu's good in this, but the story itself is like I said, is so simple that I'm watching it. I'm thinking, there's got to be more to it than that. And it's not. And you go, okay. But it looks so fun, and it is fun, and it's a kick-ass little time. But I think I had told you, not really worth a trip to the theater, but definitely worth seeing at some point. So I recommend it. Just don't go out there and see it for top dollar. Yeah. okay, one I saw for top dollar, and I was sad I did in the summertime, and you got a time to catch up to it, was Godzilla. This, to me, is another one that goes on my worst of the year list, but you saw it. What'd you think?
Yeah, it's not good. Right, it's just not good at all.
I hate to say that.
It's not good. I mean, I would rather watch the Matthew Broderick one than the Roland Emmerich one.
That's what I told you afterwards. I said it's nuts. It is better, right?
And tell me though, but in some, like, this is such a mashup of every Godzilla movie ever made. It's a bit disgusting. I mean, it literally, at the beginning of this, I did kind of expect at some point for someone to be fucking around with some worms, like in the beginning of the other one.
Right.
It's what's with the environment? I talk about a slow burn. Yeah. I mean, what's with the whole environmental thing? I don't need to know anything about the guy's fucking mom, his past, all the shit with Godzilla came and attacked them in Tokyo, or in Japan, right? None of that fucking matters. One little bit at all. Useless. I'm telling fucking useless. The thing that sums this movie up to me really is the point when Godzilla's fighting the other monster. And the guy's wife runs into the underground area, and the doors close.
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember that at all. I mean, that was literally there. Okay, finally, there's going to be a monster fight. Cut two. Some other shit's happening somewhere. We're like, what the fuck's going on? Where's the goddamn Godzilla fight? You know, that was that whole movie to me. You know, I was just like, what? You guys totally missed the point of Godzilla, first of all. Show me it Godzilla. Where's Godzilla?
There are shots though that are beautiful in that movie. There's some visually stunning shots in that movie. I thought the kid was a non-starter too. I didn't like the guy who played the son. Bryan Cranston
he's
was
totally
gone
useless.
Way too early.
Every person in this movie was useless.
Well,
they weren't
a part
of the
movie to me. Was that they didn't act like normal human beings. You wouldn't go your strange father calls you up, who has this obsession.
What?
You wouldn't then take him to where the you know, breakthrough trespassing zones and all this shit the whole time, saying, we got to go back, Dad. We got to go back, as you then push further and further and further. And I thought, okay, you've lost me now already. And this is all just characters going through a screenplay now. Like, I'm just watching.
And why was he there? Why was he important to anything that happened? I mean, shit just went on. It's literally Godzilla and these monsters are doing whatever they're doing, and then the story is us you know, pussyfooting around them, right? We don't do a fucking thing in this movie as human beings. It's kind of sad.
Yeah, we are minimized.
Like, why are we in the movie? I don't even know why we're in the movie. Just show me the monsters. That's it. Because that was that movie. That was bad, man. It was real bad.
In a nutshell to me, beautiful shots in a shitty movie. That's about that.
Real bad. And they try to pull that ending on you, too.
Yeah, like, well, I believe me, you think there was going to be a sequel? I mean, come on, you didn't think they were just trying to set that up?
I know, but that's what I was saying. That movie did that a lot, where I would be like, oh, maybe they're going to do something weird here, and then they're going to have to like do something else. And you're like, oh, no, they're just, like, maybe they're just dangling the carrot.
Yeah, it was a very obvious film.
Yeah, it's a no balls kind of a movie, really.
All right, well, since we're on no balls, let's talk about The Man with the Big Balls. Dwayne Johnson, Hercules. What'd you think?
Hercules. I really like this movie. I don't know. Is that bad?
No. I gave it a mixed review because I was on the fence of a recommendation and not, because it does have problems, man. But it also has
a very
self-deprecating kind of fun vibe to it.
I really liked it because it reminded me of The 13th Warrior. Reminded me a little bit of, that Norrington movie.
League of Gentlemen?
What is
Extraordinary
that
Gentlemen?
Extraordinary League. League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Those assholes
Gentlemen.
That are all cool.
Holy exactly. Shit. But it had that kind of like you're saying, that kind of tongue-in-cheek, that kind of fun. It had that kind of comedy to me. I don't know. I really liked it. I thought
Ian McShay's character was fun in it. He was kind of comic relief in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. I liked. I thought Johnson was a little stale almost in the role. I thought he was almost the kind of weak link in the role. I thought he kind of got lost in the movie, even though I liked the
movie. Disagree. I think he had to be that way, though. That was the way Hercules was.
Well, I like that
he
they
was
kept the original
of
dark
pulled
story
away from
that,
everyone.
You know, his family, he had done things to his family because mm-hmm. he'd been poisoned, and which is some of the darker elements of that story. And he's outcasted, and I did like some of the stuff. And I did think the battle scene, though, went on a little long for me in that center portion where...
Well, you know, the ending's completely trash, but... Which battle scene? The first one?
When he was
the green people?
You know, people had a fight and whatnot, and when the green people come, it's fine, but... I was 2.5, 3 star. I think I went 3 stars.
I really liked it, except the ending I thought was stupid. It falls apart there. But up till then, I just enjoyed that it wasn't, you know, until the ending happens. It's not trying to be some big fucking movie. It's just a little story. It's just a story. Here's a part of Hercules' life, you know, and here's this happening. Instead of like,
it's actually a little cheap film.
The world's gonna end and you must save it. Like, none of that shit fucking happens in this movie, which is like, holy crap. Like, wow, that's kind of a completely different way than I thought it was gonna go. And I like that they kind
of for the story,
played
right?
with the idea. Yeah, and I'm still not sure if he really is Hercules or not. You know, I like that. I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah, that was fun. It was, like I said, and the way that they kept playing with what was expected and, you know, the guy with the prophecy, and I thought
the comedy worked too.
Yeah, almost too much.
I did. I liked it.
I thought it was almost Scorpion King esque. Didn't it remind you of Scorpion King too? Strangely enough.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think this is better than Scorpion King, but just by a smidge.
Yeah, but okay. I enjoyed it anyways.
I got a chance to catch up with The Judge, Robert Downey Jr.'s latest film. This is kind of his Oscar bait wannabe with Robert Duvall. And as you watch this, you realize this will not be his Oscar bait, because this is really a rudimentary, if this was the 90s, you'd say a Grisham-type legal thriller. But I liked
Those
it for what it was. I sunk my teeth into this one. Even at 2 hours and 20 minutes, I thought it was pretty light on its feet. Downey Jr. is always fun to watch. Duvall does his typical Duvall thing. The supporting cast, Vincent D'Onofrio as the brother, really scored with me, and I liked this movie. It's kind of you know what you're getting with this movie. The trailer says it all. You watch it go through its very well-oiled paces, but it did it in such a professional way. I got to be honest, I gave a lot of shit to the director, David Dubkin, who did Wedding Crashers mm-hmm. and The Change-Ups, the things that you wouldn't expect to prepare him for this. This looks like anything from that 90s era that Joel Schumacher or Sidney Pollack had directed. So big ups to him for stepping up and delivering a nice drama. One that it's going for the tearjerker mm-hmm. and it is a bit too precious. That last scene is really on the nose. But outside of that, I thought I had built up enough goodwill that I gave it a pass, and I give this one basically like 3 stars. I recommend The Judge. Once again, though, I wouldn't say it's theater-worthy, but it's worth checking out.
Yeah.
But it is well,
none of those Grisham
sometimes.
Movies really were theater-worthy, you know, but they really do play very well on in a smaller environment.
As this did. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Courtroom drama. Yeah.
All right, so Sex Tape. What'd you think? You got a chance to see this one. I saw it in the summer. I was on the fence on this one myself.
Yeah, I really didn't like it. And I love everyone in this movie. Didn't like it.
What
again,
happened to this movie?
Good Lord, what's with the slow burn? Talk about a slow burn. They don't have to make the sex tape till half an hour in.
This movie gets lost.
I don't give a fuck.
Trevor, this movie gets lost when she goes to fucking her boss's house.
Oh, God,
it
gets
Lowe's
lost.
House.
Yeah, that's one
with
moment.
The dog.
It gets lost so many times. And it's not even about, it's about the sex tape for maybe 20 minutes. And then
it's really,
really
not about
isn't.
It.
It's really
it's about
not.
Having
it's
kids
just,
and not having a sex life.
They just run around, and this movie has no understanding of how technology works. I really don't get it at all. It's not good, right? It just wasn't good.
I wanted to like it.
It's a great idea. Great idea.
Right.
Horrible execution.
And you texted me and said Jason Segel got too skinny for this. I agree. He looked almost out of sorts.
I really like him. Yeah, and I could have dealt with that, but it was the movie's so damn slow that you have to look at him and you're kind of like, God, his neck looks really skinny. Like his skin under his jowls there. Like, what's wrong with him?
I
wanted
movie.
To feed him. I almost wanted to be like, don't worry about the sex tape. Here, eat this. Eat this.
The whole movie, though, it gets lost at different times in the whole mm-hmm. – it goes for different types of humor. It's like slapstick at times. It's kind of sentimental. It's like it's all over totally.
We sit there and watch them – well, the problem with this movie is that with a movie like this, you expect this – okay, it's called Sex Tape. Okay, it's called Godzilla. It should be about those things, right? Why is it not? Why is Sex Tape not about sex tape?
Yeah.
Who makes that movie? I just don't get it. Like, I don't care about these two characters. These are two people. I'm like, all right, but they're having trouble in their marriage.
I thought another
give me a reason.
The supporting characters didn't work in this one. I thought the friends were kind of obnoxious. They kept wanting to watch the sex tape. You know, it was like I found them just not very likable people outside of the.
You didn't even get to know them, but they were featured.
Kind of reprehensible.
Yeah. Didn't like it.
All right. Well, those are our reviews for 9 films. 22 Jump Street, I really was keen on. Neighbors, we split on. The Judge, I say C. John Wick, I say C. Sex Tape, we both say is no good. Hercules, we both liked. Godzilla, we didn't like. Trevor didn't like The Signal, and we both say Haunted House 2 is amongst the worst.
This is a bad review episode.
A lot of shit. But then again, you're catching up with a lot of summer schlock, which I had a chance to already pound, so. You're disagreeing with a lot of things I said, so.
Well, it's been a down year, you know. Let's be honest.
Well, there's been some quality out there too, but it's just been harder to find.
But mostly, I think. Well, when I say down year, I don't mean everything's been down. But you know, if you think for the most part, this has been a year. This was a year that was vacated. That was supposed to have a lot of other bigger movies as well. So that may be
that's
part of it.
2015 is going to kick ass. That's why. Very hopeful.
Yeah, I know.
Let's move on to the Trailer Addict portion of today's show, and then we'll wrap it up.
Trailers can be wondrous things, giving us insight into the unseen movies of the future. But when they're bad, fire photon torpedoes. Shields up, red alert. Prepare for Trailer Addict.
All right.
I think the one we have to talk about right off the top is Furious 7. Fast and Furious Part 7. This trailer came out about a week ago. We didn't do a show last week, so we're getting around to talking about it today. 3 minutes of absolute just frenetic action. This is the trailer of the year. I love this trailer.
Really?
You didn't like this trailer?
I think this movie looks fucking stupid.
Oh,
I don't think the trailer looks stupid, too. It's nothing but people running around. We are so far removed at this point from anything Fast and Furious.
There's no street racing going. This is in its own mythology going.
Oh, it's fucking dumb. Come on.
No, my goodness.
Why are these guys, all of a sudden, these guys are action movies running around doing all this stupid shit?
What do you mean all of a sudden? It's been like 6 movies now. They've been
this
since at least the fourth one.
That's, Yeah, and this is number 7. That is not 6 movies.
All right. Well, at least for half the series, they've been doing it like this. Let me tell you something.
The first and the fourth one wasn't this bad.
The first minute and a half of this trailer is awesome. Stupid. The rest of it is cut beautifully well. I'm surprised how they can keep coming up with innovations and crazy shit to do in these automobiles. I think this is going to be a huge hit.
They can't because it's all from the mind of it. It's from the mind of a child. This looks. You're saying this is ecstatic. This movie looks exactly like G.I. Joe 2.
No, it doesn't.
Yes, it does. From everything
You're
about
crazy.
This looks like G.I. Joe 2. When that fucking
You're
thing
crazy.
Opens up and it's got those gats that come out, you just think, what the fuck is going on?
Did you not see Kurt Russell and Jason Statham
this
in this movie?
Ridiculous.
I am sold on this shit. I can't
it's ridiculous
wait for this
looking.
To come out.
I just this is going to be a lot of noise. It's with no reasoning whatsoever.
What are you, my grandfather? This movie's too loud. What are you talking about? I didn't like it. It was too loud.
Because there's nothing. It's just shit. It's just action. I want something more. I don't see anything more in this. And it literally looks like G.I. Joe 2. I watched the G.I. Joe 2 trailer and then watched this.
I want you to
they
know.
They look like the same fucking movie.
I want you to know on this show, you said it's too much action. And you've already complained about other movies being too much of a slow burn. We are going to have to find you the perfectly paced film for you to just enjoy. You better be on point with your pace because Trevor is coming after you.
No,
it's too fast. It's too loud. I didn't like this one.
I just want something else. The action's fine, but it's silly, stupid action. And if that's what you think you're going to give me, you're going to be like, oh, we're going to blow their fucking minds with these guys are going to try to get this fucking truck again. It's like, oh, Jesus Christ, they're getting a truck again. Okay. But this time it's going to have Gatling guns come out of it and it's going to have fucking, you know, dildos are going to shoot. And it's going to get into their eye sockets, but the Vin Diesel's not going to care. He's going to drive with a dildo in his eye. At some point it gets too much. It's ridiculous.
But it's got Paul Walker, man. It's got Paul.
It does. I'm gonna see it. But come on, these are getting more and more monotonous as they've
actually 5 and 6 have blurred into one movie to me. I can't recall which one happened and what. It's like
yeah,
it's getting
it's
to be like Star Trek.
Just more
movies.
Of the same. I need something. I need something.
I still
a
say
good
this
idea.
Is
I need a good idea. A trailer of the year. I think a far cry from that.
All right, let's talk about McFarlane USA, which is the Kevin Costner Disney drama about a farming town that produced some of the country's greatest cross-country runners. Didn't really know what this story was about until I saw the trailer, and it looks like your typical Disney sports film here, nothing new, and I'm almost getting tired of Costner in this role now. I thought I liked him in this role when it was The Guardian and when it was Draft Day and when it's, you know, but now I'm getting a little done with this.
This you're getting done with, but Furious 7, bring me more. Bring me 8, 9, and 10, please.
Hey, that's because I just watched Million Dollar Arm, which was about slow burn.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't
goes.
Have seen
Talk
that.
Talk about slow burn.
Yeah. That's probably very bad. I wouldn't see this movie. I think I like Kevin Costner. I think this movie looks pretty good. But like you said, it really is. It just looks like every other Disney movie, sports movie, right?
It's the playbook, literally.
I mean, it literally like, looks like it, too. Yeah, they have, like, the look. They have, like, a certain filter. Okay, this is what it has to look like. Okay. It's like, we can't put the Disney name on it unless it has this golden hue to it.
Yeah.
Everything must be golden.
The less time spent on this one, the better, because you know exactly what you're getting when you said a Disney sports film. Like, close your eyes and think about that, because you've seen a bunch, I'm sure, through your life, and it looks just like that.
Yeah.
Let's move on to something that looks innovative to me, and that's Chappie. I really like this trailer. I'm not sure if this is
this
from
looks
the
innovative to you.
It does. It looks like innovative. It looks like ET brought up to speed, or Short Circuit brought up to speed at least.
Bicentennial Man. I mean, the list goes on.
But I think this has I think it has at least the capacity to score. I don't know. This looks like it might be worthwhile. No, you don't feel that.
I don't know. I don't think big. I think it'll do fine.
I mean, like, scores in the sense that it's a successful film as a movie. You know, you watch it, and it's I think that it looks very South African.
I think that it is – yeah, this looks very Neil Blomkamp, whatever his name is. And, you know, to me, that's just almost immediately a turnoff because I know that he's going to try to have some sort of
–
social – thing it's
message,
just, I'm just yeah like I don't know if I'm willing to hear it. I also I don't know how good the movie is. You're playing off of people's hearts in a way where it's like the movie almost doesn't have to be good. I don't know.
You remember a boy?
You're gonna
and his
get
dog.
Away with a lot of stuff.
It looked like some stuff like that at times, and all sorts of
a boy and his dog.
Interesting things.
There's no dog in this one, is there?
Well, he was the dog, right?
Could be good, but it's certainly not a new, certainly no original idea, not a new idea, but still something. We don't get a lot of movies like this. So, although actually, I'm going to take that back. We actually do get quite a few of these robot movies like this.
Yeah, Robot and Frank.
They just don't get. Yeah, there's one, but there are many from Asia. There's a ton. So, but they don't get to the big screen very often. So.
There was that one that was on Netflix that you watched not that long, like C7 or something like that. Wasn't that CC17 or something like that? Do you recall?
Yeah, I know. I don't remember. I know what you're talking about. But yeah, but these are, I don't know. I see this and I just think fanboys would, will eat this up.
Seriously, I can't wait. Looks
yeah,
so good.
You know, and that to me is just, they like it just because it's got a robot in it. Like, yeah. What the fuck? The hell's that got to do with anything?
What movie do you want to see? The one with the robot in it. All right, well, we'll go take you that one.
I'll take one ticket to the robot movie.
You know, that's what you should do is if you go to the box office and you buy a ticket for a movie, don't use the film's title. Find the most obscure
see if
way
they
you can
guess
it.
Exactly.
Instead of can I get one for John Wick, can I get one for the guy who's thinking he's back? Thanks.
Yeah, I'd like one ticket to see Neo. Neo, I want to see him. He's in there.
The kid selling you the ticket wouldn't be alive when the fucking Matrix came out anyway. So it's like, you can't even do these jokes anymore. Anyways, all right. So last trailer for today would be A Most Violent Year. This looks like a very serious drama starring Oscar Isaac. Ooh. And is that Jessica Chastain?
Chastain.
Yeah, or Chastity, I like to say.
Chastity. I like a Jessica Chastain like on Two Ferns.
Between Two Ferns has been a role lately, but that's a whole other podcast. This movie looks good, but a bit confused as well. I'm not really sure exactly if this guy is caught up in the mob, if this is a guy who just runs a waste
is
management
he running
business,
the mob I was confused as well. Yeah.
Strong-armed, but it has a certain look and feel that's very intriguing to me. This looks like right up my alley. I love these kind of movies. But
well, isn't this just the art this is just the Academy Award movie, right?
Sometimes
to
these
a
pop.
T right.
These don't always pop. I mean, we had
Wheel
in the
Night. They've been making these. Yeah.
James Gray tried this a couple times and wasn't all that successful, but this does look like Hustle Part 2.
I was just going to say, yeah, we just had American Hustle, which this looks very similar to. I think this is far more serious, but it looks like that. Like these movies definitely have, we're definitely going for a 70s, 80s time frame nowadays in an Academy Award movies, right?
I do think this looks intriguing. I like the idea of it, but I wish that the trailer was a little bit more clear on who this guy is, if he's a gangster or if he's a businessman who's caught up in the gangster world.
It's not a very balanced trailer either. It's like, it gives you the idea. But I get bored, and then suddenly there's action, and I'm like, oh, there is action in this movie.
I know it's not the same story, the mob influence and whatnot, but it has the same look as that film, The Drop, that we saw the trailer for earlier this year. Like Gandolfini, Tom Hardy film, remember that?
Mm-hmm.
It came out kind of like that East Coast, almost noir in a weird way.
Could
you feel
be
like
good.
No one in this is going to end up okay.
Yeah, that is definitely a feeling you have this. It is called Most Violent Year, so some people are going to get fucked up. Yeah, I don't know. It looks like it could be good, but like you say, I don't know. You kind of have to be in the mood for these. And this does feel
watch
very.
These this summer. These are very winter.
I don't know if you've seen the poster for these, but this looks. They take this down to the 80s to a T. The movie poster to this is absolutely beautiful. It looks like straight out of the 80s.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's a beautiful piece of artwork too. And the director of this, whose last film I thought All Is Lost. Did you ever catch that one? It's on Netflix right now.
No.
It was fantastic. Mm-hmm. The Rupert Redford film where you're stuck at sea. Absolutely.
Right.
Fantastic.
It did just come on. Yeah.
I think I recommend that to anybody. So. I have kind of faith right now going off the strength of his last film that this guy can do something. But hopefully he's not just aping David O. Russell or who was doing Scorsese's. This isn't like some sort of like third-rate Scorsese act, you know?
Down the line, yeah.
This is like fucking Justin Bieber doing Usher, who's doing Michael Jackson. It's like, what do we got, like a seventh-rate fucking imitation here? Yeah. All right, but I think Furious 7 looks fantastic. Trevor does not agree with me on that one. We both say McFarlane USA is exactly what you expect. We split on Chappie, and we both think Most Violent Year looks good. So check out the trailers over at TrailerAddict.com. Get in the box office ace prediction game. Get in there for Dumb and Dumber 2, Beyond the Lights. The year is almost over, but you can still play with us. You can play with us whenever you'd like. And if you have anything you'd like to say to us, well, you can email us over at Jason Movie Mavericks, Trevor at Movie Mavericks. Go on to iTunes, leave comments, do shit. Thanks. Go to Facebook, like things, share things. Does anybody even use Facebook anymore? I think I keep saying this. I don't know. But do things on it. Or the Twittergram, whatever you use it now. You kids, it's so loud out there. Anything you want to add on today's show?
Your mom uses Facebook, so.
Your mom's in the Instagrams.
Don't use that no more.
Mom is doing way more than Instagram. You know what I mean? That'll do it for today's show. Well, this has been a wacky one.
We're done.
Yeah, we are. We're done. And speaking for Trevor Anderson, this is Jason Ruger. We're the Movie Mavericks, and we're out.
Oh my! Another magnificent episode has come to an end. If you're craving more, set your destination to MovieMavericks.com, Warp 9. Engage!